And if you would turn to Ecclesiastes, I hope in a few weeks when these are all done, you can go back and read Ecclesiastes without me getting in the way and see that it is a book of wisdom and of comfort and hope in the midst of a fallen world where things don't always go the way we would like or even that people would expect, but that it is a book that teaches God's sovereignty over all things and our hope that we have in Him. Today we will be reading Ecclesiastes 9, 10 through 18. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. But time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time, when it suddenly falls upon them. I have also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might, though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The words of the wise, heard in quiet, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Our Father in heaven, give us understanding of your word today. Open our hearts to hear it. Strike a straight blow, I pray, with a crooked stick. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, I was thinking about two sides of false teaching. The health and wealth, or the prosperity gospel, which is really no gospel at all. I guess that's particularly on my mind because I was looking up a particular person whom someone had mentioned listening or checking on this person's sort of daily devotions. Apparently this particular person was paying, this person's yearly salary from the ministry was $900,000 a year. That's a lot of giving has to come in to for that person, but I was thinking the health and wealth gospel, the prosperity preachers, they basically tell us to believe so that you'll be blessed, and it typically is a financial blessing, and typically you're supposed to send in money for that money to then be multiplied. I remember my grandmother and my father's mother getting caught in on one of those on a local level and sending in, and of course her money was gone. So we have that. That's not what the Bible preaches. The Bible doesn't teach you're going to have health and wealth and prosperity in worldly terms. Then we have, I was thinking of another one because I've listened to someone wrote a book about this, you remember the Crystal Cathedral out in California. It is now a Roman Catholic church. I remember at my grandparents' house, my other grandparents, we'd be watching him on that particular fellow on Sunday mornings. I remember he did his own little take on the Beatitudes, the be happy attitudes. And he really didn't like to tell people, like, you can't tell people they're sinners. That'll hurt their self-esteem. But then they have nothing to be saved from, do they? So they live in complete misunderstanding. So there's another part, kind of what we'll call that the self-esteem gospel. It's no gospel at all. Ecclesiastes takes an axe and chops down both of those so-called gospels. And that's good, because those are false gospels. Today, as we think about this short section, just 2 points. Work while it is yet day. First, in 10 through 12, and then in 13 to 18, God-given wisdom is important in our work. And so, as I titled it, we're supposed to work hard, even though we don't understand everything going on around us. We're still meant to work hard. And by this, we're not talking about working for salvation. We're just talking about getting up each day and doing the task before us, giving it our all, whatever our calling, whether at home, whether at work, whether in town, whether on the farm, whether in the factory, whatever it is, that we give it our best because we're God's people. We have a God who is in control. So picking up at the end of the last section, in verse 10, where you see in the way in the Bible it's kind of divided into these sections, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And again, in Ecclesiastes, because we get to the word Sheol, Sheol is simply talking about the grave. Everyone passes away. Everyone goes to the grave. It's not talking about heaven or hell, either one there. It's just talking about that we're going to die. And he says, while you have time, work with all your might, with the years you've got. That's what God wants us to do. And we've already said how we finished last week because God is the one who gives you the ability to enjoy this toil with which you toil. And so it's really telling us here, as Paul would later say, and Paul, the more I study this, the more I see Paul kind of had this in his system, because he brings up little verses here and there that clearly teach us some of this wisdom. For example, Colossians 3:23, whatever your task, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not to men. We do not opt out of total, earnest, and dedicated involvement in the privilege of work. Y'all, work came before the fall. God put Adam and Eve in the garden to work it and keep it. He also told them to fill the earth and subdue it, to go over the whole earth, accomplishing all that God would put before them. Work came before the fall. The fall made work harder. And so we have to deal with that. By the sweat of our brow, we do our work. But he is telling us, do your work before the Lord. Do it with all your might in the time that you've got. Jesus would later say, work while it's day. Night is coming. Because once we go to the grave and we leave behind those, our family, whoever it is, our work on earth will cease. So let's accomplish all that God would put before us. Whatever it is. I'm just saying, we're really talking very simple here. Occasionally, there may be one among a group this big that does work that the whole world finds to be profound. But in our case, we're just talking about faithful, everyday labor for the Lord. The labor we do for the Lord will not be in vain. But then he gives us some seeing again. He's always preparing us for things not going exactly the way we expect. So he actually gives now, as he's told us to work, then when he kind of begins kind of a next section, he says, but realize this, on this earth, I've observed it. And here's what I've realized. There's actually five things here. And these are assets that we think bring success. But just know it doesn't always work exactly like we expect. So, what do we have here? The race isn't always won by the swift. Okay? Now, we know that from the, what do you call those? It's not a nursery rhyme. The tortoise and the hare, right? We know, don't we all know the tortoise and the hare? Who ends up winning? Because of wisdom, in that case, that's actually a positive. The wisdom He just keeps putting one foot in front of the other. That's what the book of Proverbs tells us. The swift don't always win the race. In fact, we have some biblical examples. Asahel was one of the fastest, fast as a gazelle. Well, Abner had a spear. This is in the early days after Saul, when the kingdom was being prepared to be put into David's hands. The one with the spear defeated the one who was faster. The swift don't always win the race. As well, the strong. The battle doesn't always go to the strong. Now, we're going to see an actual example of this in the second point today. But the battle doesn't always go to the strong. Sometimes the strong has an Achilles heel. Remember Samson? No, God was gracious. Samson finished strong. But during his lifetime, as strong as he was, the seductress could get to him. He was weak before strong-willed women. The battle does not always go to the strong. And in a whole nother level, a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, the big old Russian army saw that a small country with a drone. It's a whole new day of warfare. That's a whole other conversation. Day of warfare. That drone can get in there and do some damage that the big army was not prepared for. Quickly, okay, we got three more of these. The bread doesn't always go to the wise. Again, we're kind of in the, I don't know if y'all read the Kings, Samuel and the Kings and the Chronicles very often. There's some pretty neat stuff in there. Ahithophel was the most discerning, but when David sent him into the amongst the enemies, Hushai was able to fool him. Bread doesn't always go to the wise. Riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. In God's plan, strength, wisdom, speed, discernment, and learning, they only go as far as God ordains them. Do we train to be to have the most strength? You know, we're thinking more of the military or the sports, the athletic metaphor. Of course we do. But we realize at the end of the day, not only is it wisdom, but it's God. Because God is the one who brings victory. Are you running in the strength of the Lord? I want to make just a point of translation here. It says, but time and chance happen to them all. Chance there is referring to occurrence, to just simple situations. It's not recurring to something that happens with no cause, by the roll of the dice. It's talking about the same occurrence. No matter how strong or weak or fast or slow, the same kinds of things happens to everyone. Time and events happen to everyone. But God is the one that we trust in. God is the one who we trust in. So even though we look and we see, man doesn't know his time. We see people die young. It's okay to say they died too young. From our perspective, they died too young. God knows our days, but from our perspective, we can see that. It looks like they were, he's saying it, this is an evil. Again, from our sight, we look at it and we can say, this is an evil. It's like fish taken in a net, birds caught in a snare. Sometimes in this fallen world, people die too young, and so we mourn. But for us who are left behind, the calling is work with all our might while it is yet day. And because we have faith, we know we will join them in God's appointed time, and we'll see them again. Work with all your might while it is day. But also note, God-given wisdom is important in our work. We've just learned human ability cannot guarantee success, but we don't judge a book by its cover. So he gives us, in some cases, even some examples of some of the things he was talking about. He gives, it looks like, maybe three examples or so here. I've seen this example, and it appears that he's speaking about a particular instance here. A little city, few men in it, a great king comes against it. So they're in that, they're in the crux of the battle. They're in there, you know, they're behind their wall. The king is coming after them with a great army, and they're not sure what they're going to do. And it says, but there was a wise man who knew what to do. Perhaps he knew of a secret passage where they could come around and, you know, hit them from behind. Whatever it was, this wise man, he knew, and through his wisdom, they were able to defeat the greater army. We know that. We understand that. That's how it works sometimes. That's one reason we keep working with all our might and keep working with faith in God. We also know that in this world, again, Solomon's going to tell you the word. He's going to give us, Solomon kind of gives us the worst case scenarios because we do get those sometimes. So he says, and you know what? He did this, and yet no one remembered him. We see this in the Bible. Joseph. What did Joseph do for Egypt? He saved it. Joseph, the Hebrew, sold as a slave, worked for Potiphar, was put in prison, helped a couple of the king's officials out. They told him, we'll help you. 2 years passed. Finally, they remember, we got this fellow down in the dungeon who... he seems to have God seems to be on his side. Joseph becomes the second in command of Pharaoh, saves the entire country of Egypt and even the known world. But what happens a generation later? There came a group, there came a Pharaoh, there came a group of officials. They didn't remember Joseph. And then they end up putting Joseph's own people, the one that saved them, they put his own people into slavery. They'll forget. People in this world will forget. But even as Joseph said, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. God is in control. God-given wisdom is important. That the wisdom of this poor man saved the kingdom. The wisdom of Joseph saved Egypt as well as Israel. Because what did God do? In God's plan, that was the opportunity in the bread as they... kept the sheep of the Egyptians who wouldn't keep sheep. Working as shepherds, it grew into the God's chosen people. Then he gives us some other ideas about wisdom. I'm just going to read it and then make some applications. It says, I say wisdom is better than might, though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The words of the wise, heard in quiet, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. I think in our own country, we hope that somewhere behind closed doors, some wise things are being spoken and people are heeding them. Because we occasionally hear the foolish chatterings on the TV of those who just don't seem to know what they're doing. And then it says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. And yet, one sinner can destroy much good. What do we have here? Let's think of it like this. Wisdom is a gift that comes from the fear of God. That's the key. We have to remember that as believers. True wisdom is the fear of God. The fear of God. Wisdom is not always heeded. They don't always listen. It doesn't mean that we don't give it. In some cases, for you, when you're the one giving the wisdom, you speak the wisdom, you say, Lord, I'm in your hands, let come what may. People don't always listen. And sometimes it's only in emergencies that they'll be quiet enough to listen to the quiet, wise person trying to speak when all the chaos is around them. And so, as believers, we must stand firm. We must have perseverance to stand firm. We need perseverance, friends. We need perseverance. We have to trust that the day will come that our wisdom will be heeded. That reality, as we look in the confused world we live in, reality will strike back. And when reality strikes back, we can speak. As Christians, we will have an opportunity to speak words of quiet wisdom. But wisdom is power, if those will just listen. God-given wisdom is important in our work. So Ecclesiastes, Solomon is trying to help us see that even though it doesn't always go the way we might expect, that God is in control. We don't know the end from the beginning, but God does. Work with all your might. Let's work with all our might in the days that God gives us. And God, we've already heard over and over and over, God gives us the ability to enjoy it, to find satisfaction in it. Let's realize that wisdom is important in our work. It's as simple as sharpening the axe. It takes a lot few strokes to fell the tree. Okay, maybe we're the ones that just sharpen somebody's axe. That small thing could be what it takes. God can use us. So, man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. The Lord can take simple wisdom and bring victory. Whatever the circumstances, the same kinds of circumstances come to the strong and the wise, to the believer and the unbeliever. But we have one, our Lord Jesus. Once again, Paul is the one who brings this to bear in the New Testament so remarkably. In 1 Corinthians, he tells us, for us on this side of the cross, we have Christ. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? In the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Because of Jesus, he has become to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. As it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the fulfillment of all the hopes of the Old Testament. And in your life and death and resurrection and ascension, we can see how so often it is prepared beforehand, even in simple passages like today. Who would have thought that the cross would be the turning point of history? And yet it is. Thank you, Jesus. You are our wisdom, our redemption, our justification, our sanctification. Thank you for saving us. Now give us wisdom to live in the fear of God and to glorify you in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.